Well, everybody, welcome to episode 15 of the Ankeny Fanatic Rodcast. We are back with our annual spring March Madness edition. One of our usual co-hosts is not with us today, Tony Rhodes, because we're recording this early in the day, and he has a real job where he can't get away like the rest of us. We have somebody filling in today who's going to be our special guest, but he'll just fill in as a co-host instead. So, of course, the star of the show is Rod Brannon. I'll let Rod introduce our guest here. Go ahead.
Well, we've got an Ankeny legend. It's sitting across me right now. Grew up in the Parkersburg area, played for one of the greatest coaches ever, and then went to Wartburg, and they've got a building named after him. It's called Pollock's Bar. And anyway, Andy Pollock, who's my favorite Dowling coach, sorry, Tens, happens to be sitting across from us today, and he's a little more well-rounded than Mike. He can talk about all sports, not just wrestling and football. Welcome, Andy.
Well, thank you. Some of what you said was true, but we'll go with it all anyway. So,
I wondered how long it would take to get a dig in at Fontana. It took less than a minute.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
But you know what? We all love Mike.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Mike's a legend, man.
I'm sure I'll hear from him when he's listening to this, but he's probably out there right now working really hard somewhere, I'm guessing.
Well, he's probably selling some countertops and bathroom sinks and stuff, but I'll tell you got a ways to go to get on Mount Rushmore.
Oh, I know. I've come to terms with the fact that will never happen. I'm already with two of the guys that'll be on Mount Rushmore. It's full. I mean, basically the Ankeny Mount Rushmore is full. So I'm the guy doing the chiseling. Like
we'll make sure you get for Rick Herman up there.
Sure. Oh yeah. Cheese and rice. Rick Herman. Yeah.
Darn right, man. But no, we got a lot going on, don't we, Dan?
We do. It's a busy time of year. It's my favorite time of the year.
So let's just talk about what just got over with high school basketball.
Yeah, it was a fun couple of weeks. I was busy working. I know you were too, Andy. You did the girls' tournament all week, right?
Yep. It was a lot of fun. I always get a kick out of it. It's fun to have all the different classes there at once. You get the carryover of everything that's going on. I love that. And the treatment of the media to these gals is unlike anything else you'll ever see anywhere else in high school sports. They're rock stars, these young ladies that play in the state tournament. And the other thing I get a kick out of every year is you'll have like a 5A game, right, where you'll have like Trent Connan with a bowl. He'll be there covering the game, and then we'll have it on the Girls Union Digital Network. So they'll have it on radio, and then they'll have it on that. And then you have some class 1A team with, 88 kids in the entire school, and two of these schools playing against each other, and there'll be five different radio stations lined up on press row calling these games. So that small town radio is still alive and well at a lot of different places. We don't have a lot of that around here, but it's really fun to see. Then the full on, like I said, rock star treatment that everybody gets at those tournaments is a lot of fun.
What's awesome for those smaller schools.
I'm sure
the kids in the community just love that.
But. Yeah, I'm going to get a little dig in here right now. And you mentioned how well it was done with the girls' union. I mean, I'm going to take a dig at the boys' union. I mean, there's people that are progressive and there's people that are reactionary. And they think of stuff after it happens. I mean, the girls, it runs so smooth. I'm not saying that the tournament didn't run smooth, but, I mean, my God, you got to pay to stream a boys' game, and the girls' games are all free.
So I will go to bat a little bit for the boys' union, because I've had a lot of discussions with them about how things are being done right now, and they're very good discussions, and I think things are progressing there. The reason they're in the situation that they are right now is because of being really progressive in the past. They were one of the first organizations in the entire United States to stream their stuff or to be able to watch it on TV. Started back in the 90s with, I think it was Thompson Broadcasting, Gary Thompson's crew, would come in and do all the games, and then they'd sell that to different stations, and they could carry the games, and that was ahead of its time. It was in the later 90s, that might have even been the 80s, I don't remember for sure. It was in the later 90s that things then started over to this Iowa High School Sports Network, and everybody got along, and it was the Iowa High School Sports Network would do whatever the guys at the union wanted, and then there was a sale of that company. So all the rights have been sold to the IHSSN, which is interesting in its own right because they run the whole tournament, the Iowa High School Sports Network. It's not hardly any of it is run actually by the Iowa High School Athletic Association. So those are two different companies. IHSSN actually sells advertising not only on their own network, but they also sell all the advertising in the arena too. So the Iowa High School Athletic Association, any ads that you see about them in the arena, they have to buy. They actually have to purchase ad space at their own tournament from the IHSSN. There's all those little bits and pieces to it. And so there was a sale of the IHSSN a couple years ago, and all of a sudden the close-knit of all these guys working together, because we've been able to watch boy sports in the state of Iowa for a long time on the web, on TV for the finals. It's been good. But things change when there's a sale of the IHSSN. They held the rights. They can do whatever they want. So they continue to do whatever they want. And their motto is to try and make money at the expense of the rest of us that would like to just sit there and be able to enjoy it like we always have been able to enjoy it. So now that includes a pay model. And as much as the current leadership of the IHSSA is there and they do, they're hamstrung. They're not able to control nearly as much of it as they would like to right now. So it's something that's a work in progress. I'm hoping that'll change down the road very soon, but we're just also used to seeing this stuff for free. That's the way it's always been. Advertisers, I would assume, would like a lot more people watching than having to pay for it. So right. I think that's where the pressure would have to come from in order to, you know, the Fairways, the Casey's of the world that advertise cookies, that advertise on that stuff. I think that's where the pressure would have to come from to get it to be back to being a free thing. Now, if there is a bunch of people watching, well, then it's not going to change.
Right.
If they're making money, it's not going to change back.
To me, it sounds like a worse deal than Louisiana Purchase, man. I just, you know, if that's what it is, giving it all away. But, yeah. I, you know more about that. I just know when I get on it and I've got people that are saying, well, we can't get it.
Yep.
You know, and it's like, you know, you might want to, I don't want to watch everybody. I mean, my God, I do have a job.
Yeah, you don't want to buy the whole $30 pass or whatever just to, you know, to watch whoever, Montezuma against Newell Fonda or whoever. I don't even know who's playing.
Well, I did buy a pass this year. I got a pass so I can watch all of Division II games in like where Northwest Missouri State plays.
Okay, gotcha.
That way I can watch all the Kelderman girls.
Yep.
You know, play, and it was
well,
like
you could watch the Kelderman boy. You could watch Cade play up at Iowa State.
I have watched Cade play. Yeah, but
how about
but
that three he hit the other night? Anyway,
it's crazy.
I thought I was going to hit the roof, man. I mean, I never jumped out of my couch so high in my life. You know, and a guy that's real big with Cyclone Fanatic. Within 15 seconds of hitting that shot, my phone beeped, and I looked, and it was Jason Luch, and he said, "Are you kidding me?" I didn't reply like within 2 seconds, and he calls me right away. He goes, did I see it? Oh, yeah. It's that's what's so cool about it. And I tell you, I went down there for the first time. I've never gone down and watched.
To Kansas City or to?
No. Oh. I've done that. When Taylor was there.
Okay.
I was this year in Florida, but I've never gone down and watched every session of boys wrestling.
Okay.
Until this year. I watched all 3A. I mean, I watched.
How overstimulating is that for you?
It's you know what? It's really cool. I mean, I'd go watch some of the Ankeny kids wrestle, and I'd leave. But I stayed and watched. It was pretty cool because what did we have? Centennial had what, 9 wrestlers or 11?
11.
11. And what did Ankeny have?
They had 9.
Yeah. So there's 20 kids from this town.
There's always someone that you know.
Oh my God. Yeah. It was, you know, and like my granddaughters.
Dan had to get a new pair of shoes after that week.
I did.
Yeah. It was good. Man. But it was really cool. I really, you know, it's going to be like I was always the 4A guy in basketball where I'd go down and watch all the 4As every year, you know, but I didn't this year because I was leaving for vacation the next day. But I love doing that. I love going down there and just watching this stuff, you know.
So the week before that, I was overworking the girls' state wrestling tournament, which is something else totally to behold because that's all one class. We're talking like Hoosiers type of stuff, you know.
And that's over in Iowa City,
that's
correct?
Over in Iowa City. I was working on that with the Girls Union Digital Network. And that is something else completely because you've got all the classes together. So you've got East Buchanan, tiny school up in Northeast Iowa, they were one of the top 3 schools, you know, wrestling against Ankeny, which is a combination of Ankeny, Centennial, and North Polk, you
right.
know, in
East Buchanan. Too, yeah.
Bondurant, yeah, I mean, and they're up there because, I mean, they've been doing it for a while. So they you know, they've been building to
so this. Ankeny's 4 schools?
Yeah, all combined in one, Ankeny girls wrestling. And we finished, I can't remember, top 5? Was it close?
I think maybe, I can't remember.
They were like in it. Like, yeah, they were up in the top 4 or 5 throughout most of it. But yeah, the finals came and went. But there was just some really fun matches that they had through it. And that girls tournament was a lot of fun to be a part of. And it is, we're down there mat side calling all these matches. You're calling 4 at a time. So you're seeing all these different things. They put us on, I can't remember, it was 90-minute or 2-hour schedules that were up there just talking about all 4 mats or all 4 matches going on at the same time. It was intense. You got done and you were just like, exhausted when he got done with it.
Well, that's a great venue, but the one thing I don't like about it is there's just no room around the mats to maneuver.
They had to pack those in, and they made all the girls wrestlers, you were not allowed to be out there until it was one match before yours.
Right.
So they had everything on the stream in the background and told they had a thing who had to be out there when. But yeah, it was quite the event, and I think you'll see the girls very soon. You'll go to two classes. They're going to have to separate that out, and because it's just packed, just absolutely packed over there. Even all the way through the finals, it was packed.
That's just great. Another opportunity.
It's awesome.
Another opportunity. You know,
we've got. There's going to be a little teaser, but you're going to see more girl sports being added very soon, I think, in Iowa.
Good.
So there's going to be some fun things coming.
Lacrosse?
No. But well, I'll just let you know. You're going to see some fun things coming.
Okay. All right.
So
got some homework there, Rod.
Yeah.
You know what it is, don't you?
I don't.
Flag football.
Okay.
That's what I'm thinking.
It's everywhere right now. It's everywhere. The NFL is paying for it to be done. It's everywhere. Minnesota and Illinois both have it now. It'll be.
I was made for flag football. For flag football. Yeah.
I was not. There's not a premium on blocking like there is in real football.
Just don't get hit, Rod. You know? But there's so much going on right now. And, you know, 2 years ago we were sitting at this very table talking about this great trip we were going to take to New Orleans. And, you know, I just happened to fly out of Chicago this weekend and I happened to walk by the Harry Carey bar. And I said, God, I remember the 13 hours we spent in this bar.
Yeah, how that trip to New Orleans
go. Yeah, we went to Des Moines by way of Des Moines, you know? And I'll never forget the
that was the Final Four, right? That you guys
I should have known it was screwed the day before when I had these great rooms that I got like 9 months ahead of time. These Marriott suites. We each had our own room, big rooms, reasonable. And my Marriott card expired that I had on file just by like a week. Instead of like saying, Mr. Brannon, you know, your card's not, you know, it's because they expire.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I booked it and I already updated it for the new stuff, but I didn't think about something I did 9 months before. So instead of letting me know, I go to look at our rooms and they were canceled. We were canceled because we were getting $1,000 a night.
Sure, they come up a bunch, yeah.
And, you know, and so then we're struggling to find a place to stink and stay, and then we don't even get out of Chicago. I mean, it's just, and then my favorite thing was we went up to watch a cab, and Dan ordered a pitcher of Blue Moon. And I said, who the hell's drinking all the Blue Moon? He goes, me, and I could drink this through a straw right now. I'm so mad.
Well, it's going to be two games that night. So I was gonna be there a while.
Yeah. Who else is drinking that? But, that was 2 years ago, wasn't it?
It was, yep. So I hope you don't jinx my trip for this year because I'm heading to Phoenix in a couple of weeks.
Really?
Yeah.
Who are you going with?
Meeting my old college buddy down there. His dad lives down there, so we got a place to stay. And we don't have game tickets yet. We're going to see who makes it, but we'll figure it out when we get there. But.
Who's playing down there for the music, do you know?
Well, there's a bunch of different bands, but one of them that I like is Mumford & Sons. So
okay.
I'm pretty pumped about that. So.
Yeah, that sounds good. But, yeah, it's a lot of stuff going on. We got March Madness coming up now. I mean, you know, we got the Iowa Hawkeyes in a big game tonight that 6,000 people are going to watch.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Got opening day coming up soon too.
Yeah, I'm a Cub fan, and I'm very
careful.
I'm very optimistic right now. Our boys are playing very good in spring ball right now. This could be a team to watch out for. I mean, I know a lot of people think the Reds are the one that's going to win that division, but I still think it goes through Wrigley. And your Twins should be decent again, shouldn't they?
They should. I haven't been thinking much about baseball, but
it's about that time. Weather today will make you think about it. Now tomorrow that may change.
Yeah, and then but we got March Madness coming up. You know, we got Iowa State playing in a huge game over here on Thursday. We got Drake playing. You know, it's pretty cool. So we got Drake playing, we got Iowa State playing, and then we got Drake's playing South Dakota State. There's two kids on South Dakota State from Iowa. We got the Apple kid from Marshalltown, who's my son Jackson's age. Remember when Jackson hurt his shoulder?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the kid that hit him. Not very clean hit. They were both diving for a loose ball, and the kid that was 6'8", 231.
Go figure.
Yeah, and Jackson didn't, but... And then the Mims kid that played over at Xavier, who's a hell of a little point guard, they both play there too, which is, and then I got another kid, Nathan Johnson, plays for Stanford.
Sanford.
That's who Kansas plays.
And you know, it's you know, it's pretty cool. I know Todd Stills never listens to the broadcast. He always gives me crap when I'll bring stuff up. But you know, for the last 6 years, there's always been a half dozen kids that my son has played with or against that have been there, because you know, when you play these big tournaments, you're playing, you know, Playground Elite and the Milwaukee Spartans. There's some good basketball, and you see some. Really good players.
Well, you've got also then on the women's side, you know, obviously Iowa. Everybody talks about Iowa right now and Caitlin Clark and everything they've done. But, you know, Iowa State is poised to have a couple of years of really, really high-level success with who they've got right now with that freshman group. And then Drake women as well. And there's a lot of Iowa gals that are playing.
Conference Player of the Year.
You know, that's a cool story, too. Dinibeer and then Tucker DeVries are both the Missouri Valley Conference Players of the Year. Both went to the same high school. That's pretty Waukee High. That's pretty cool to me. So I followed Tucker DeVries for a long time. Went to school with his dad growing up. And I just that's a really cool story what they've been able to do, too.
Well, you know, what's really amazing is one played with Cade Kelderman and the other one dated Cade's sister. Tucker dated dated Peyton for about 2 years, you know.
Yep.
You know, but it's neat. I tell you, we were talking about you know, that Iowa State game, and I'm watching it down in Florida, and we watched them play the first game, and they just kicked some serious butt. And then, you know, the next game they played Baylor, and you know, truthfully, I thought maybe the kids were going to at the end get a chance to get in, but Baylor kept their, you know, their starters in, and Iowa State, you know, then they play, you know, Houston, who's, you know, the number one ranked team in the state, in the nation, and they just put a flipping unbelievable beat down on them. And I'm looking there, and all of a sudden I see number 13 go up, and I go Cato's getting in, man. And he, three times down, he makes some, got a steal, he made a couple nice passes, he drove in the middle of the lane once, I thought he was going to throw his little teardrop up, and he kicks it off to the side. Of course, me, I'm yelling shoot, you know, we're all yelling shoot. And then they hit him with that, and what the coolest thing was looking at the bench, because they love those walk-ons. I mean, they just love them. And he hit that, and he, can you just imagine, you know, turning down some, you know, D3, and he could have gone to any D3 he wanted, and some D2 offers, because he's really wanted to see, I want to play Division I basketball, gets a preferred walk-on at Iowa State. Coach from Iowa State told me, we give very few of these out, because most kids just want a jersey. They just don't want to, you know, we want a kid that wants, that's going to help our program. And, you know, one thing about Cade, 4-point student, great kid. You know, he's the biggest cheerleader on the bench. He's always up, always positive. I mean, everything you want in that type of a person. And then to see him come in and hit that three, I mean, you know, I talked to his dad, and his dad goes, oh, my God. You know, and then the place just went berserk. You know, yeah, you know, that was the highlight for me. I mean, I got like 20 texts. I mean, you think it was my own kid, you know, it's cool. And then my son, he and his girlfriend, her best friend is Lipsy's sister. So they do stuff with them all the time. And
talk about a guy that's had an awesome year.
Oh my God, man, he's unbelievable. They are. You know, the thing about them is, they play defense.
Oh, I mean, absolutely. Yeah.
That's what France teams don't play. I mean, you push on an Iowa player. I'm not trying to pick on them, but they kind of back off, you know. And Iowa State will slap you in the head.
And I want to make this clear right now. There's two of us in here that are pretty outwardly Iowa State fans. There's one guy in here wearing a Hawkeye sweatshirt, and that's you. Talking about Iowa State right now. I mean, that's what it is, though. And in today's world of sports, you know, the offense gets chicks, right? The being a hard-nosed blue-collar player doesn't get you chicks. But that's the way Iowa State is playing right now. And I think they're understanding the value of team basketball and the team defense. It's kind of counter-cultural to what's going on in the world of sports right now. But you see, I don't know if you saw what TJ said in his presser after the game and talked about just the culture they're building and what they're doing right now. And I think that's evident in what you're seeing from those guys out on the court. So that stuff that they're talking about off the court, I think you're seeing evidence of that in the success that they're having on the court.
Well, I do have my degree from the University of Iowa, though.
That's fine. How long ago was that?
Well, I'll tell you how long ago it was. You know, Andy, it was so long ago. You know, I went to Iowa. I'll tell you why I went there. Not because they were the best in all the sports back then, because they were. I mean, nothing. That was the greatest time to ever be at Iowa.
Were you with Forrest Evashevsky? Was he coaching back then?
No, I was with Bob Ortegal. Bob Cummings.
Bob Ortegal.
Hey, I went to a lot of great games when Bob Ortegal was there. I can even tell you his starting five. Down at Drake, it was Lewis Lloyd, Pop Wright, Ron Angel, Dirty Shorts Dave Johnson, because he always looked like he pooped his pants. I'm not going to lie, in those white shirts. We call him. And Terry Unbauer. Yeah, that was.
I remember those names. Yeah.
Yeah, but I went to Iowa, so that was always, you know, my school, and you know, I went down there. We had, you know. We had Lute Olson, we had Raveling, and then my last year we had Coach Tom Davis, and that team was probably the best team that could have ever won a national title for Iowa that didn't. You know, they had UNLV down 20 at half and end up getting beat, you know, and then UNLV won it all. But and then we had, you know, I think we were wrestling 50 years in a row. Field hockey, nobody could touch us, you know, because everybody went to the field hockey games.
Sure, I'm sure you were there.
Oh, damn
front
right.
Row.
Yeah. I loved it. I actually dated a girl that played field hockey. I somehow found one of the straight ones, but No, I'm kidding you. But no, she was. I mean, she was a nice girl. I never watched field hockey, but it's so big in the East Coast.
Sure. Yep.
I mean, it's gigantic. It was always Iowa and Old Dominion. They were always a tough one there. And then we had Iowa football with Hayden was at the peak. We're going to Rose Bowls and stuff. And, you know, I mean, it was, you know, and then C. Vivian Stringer kind of turned the women's program around, and they had the deal where let's sell out the arena. And we're all there, and you know, I know Tony and I are in that 360 photo they took, you know. But it was a great time to, you know, to be there. But the reason I went to Iowa State did not have a college of business.
Oh, okay.
People think that's not true. It's very true. They didn't have one until probably about 1990.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so they didn't have a college of business. And I, you know, I'll be honest, I didn't see myself in any transportation logistics or agricultural based stuff, and you know, I wasn't going to be an engineer. Have you seen my grades? You know, I mean,
so 1999, our head coach back up at AP, he would always take the captains to an Iowa football practice. So we go and he takes us there, and I'm thinking this is pretty cool, right? I'm sitting at an Iowa football practice as a senior in high school, obviously not getting recruited. I wasn't that athletic, but we're sitting there and Hayden Fry comes over and head coach Thomas introduces us and he says, well, we also got, you know, this is our Cyclone fan of the group. This is Andy Pollock. I'm like, are you kidding me? This is how I'm getting introduced right now. And Hayden says in his deep drawl, well, young'un, I know they got to go somewhere how to learn to drive a tractor. And at the time, that didn't hit me as hard as when I think back of him saying that right now. But he talked to me forever that day. Super nice guy. But yeah, certainly what he built over there is still resonating right now. And with his coaching tree and everybody that's come off that, you see it every Saturday that they play. They show the picture of the 1981 Rose Bowl team.
I mean,
who all was on that staff?
I mean, is there a tree like that?
Well, honestly, you know what, in college basketball world right now, sometime look up Greg McDermott's coaching tree and see all the talent of guys that have played under Greg McDermott right now that are coaching big-time college basketball.
He's a great guy, too, by the way.
It's crazy.
He's a first-class guy.
Yeah. I mean, TJ coached for Greg at some when he was at Iowa State. Obviously, Darren DeVries. Yeah. But there's a ton. There's like eight or nine head coaches right now, and I think most of them are in the NCAA tournament.
Well, speaking of, like, coaches, I mean, how long does Iowa will put up with Fran's mediocrity over there, you know? I mean, this is 15th
year. You're the big donor here. We ain't donating any money to Iowa.
I give my $20. I give my $19.95 a month to the Swarm.
Okay.
And I also give to the We Will. So, you know, I split it because, you know, I'd like to see some of it go to that Iowa State dance team, of course. You know, my daughter was on national champ at Iowa State dance team. First one ever. We just were in Daytona, and there's the big shell, and we looked at it, and Taylor goes, that's where we captured Iowa State's first national title, right there on that shell. Kind of brought back some memories. Pretty cool. And she showed me where they went out, and they spelled ISU in the ocean with their dance costumes. Yeah, Cyclones. So there's a lot of good stuff up there. You know, I was talking to Linda Kaiser, a friend of mine.
I know Linda well. Yeah,
great lady. Bob was a hell of a nice guy, and her, you know, her grandson's going to UNI.
Yep.
Unbelievably great player. And we were talking about, you know, Iowa and Iowa State, and about how much
big Cyclone fans.
About how much Bob would have loved it, you know. And but It's just neat. I mean, you know, it's just cool seeing people do what I see. Like you talk about the women. I remember after a game, I listened to Caitlin Clark, who I did not like in high school. Okay, I'm going to be honest with you, but she has grown up so much, and she was just talking about like not just Iowa, but look at the women in the state of Iowa. Look at the teams at Iowa, Iowa State, Drake, and UNI. She goes, I mean, we have great basketball in the state of Iowa. She goes, I'll put this state up against anybody, you know, and it's, you know, I mean. It's pretty cool. There's three schools are in the 64.
Likely to be in the 32.
You know, and you're talking a state of 3 million people.
Yeah. Yep.
You know.
And how about the Warburg women?
Right. And we've talked about that a bunch. And Taylor Runchy here, and then I can't think of anything for North Polk. You know, you had some local
Murphy, yeah.
Jaden
mm-hmm.
Murphy, yeah, playing for that Final Four. I mean, they were
that close. Yeah.
Hats hair away from moving on to this national championship. You've got Grandview this year. Really, really good season. Obviously, Cleo Murray, one of the leading scorers on that team. And then Northwestern, too, is having a great year in women's basketball. So it's crazy. Like, and that's one of the fun things, kind of taking this back, working in that girls' state tournament every year, the talent that you get to see, and you see where these girls are going, and then you see them have that success at the next level. And it's interesting because a lot of these girls in Iowa, especially as you move to some smaller classes, they're not the ones growing up playing that big-time Nike basketball club circuit or anything like that. They're playing three or four different sports. You go watch Newell Fonda play, and it's the same girls playing in the state basketball tournament that are playing in the state softball tournament, same as North Lynn, same girls at the basketball tournament that are playing in the softball tournament, and that just goes on and on. Clear Creek and Mana, there's so many Centennial, there's a lot of the same, there's crossover, Ankeny, it's just fun to see, you know, Cassie Johnson going to Texas Tech to play softball, also playing, having a great year for the Ankeny girls basketball team. So it's just fun to see what these girls that, you know, a lot of times haven't devoted their entire life to honing that craft at basketball, all of a sudden then they have a chance to do that. Taylor Runchy was an awesome softball player, might have been able to play higher level softball than she did basketball in college, chose to play basketball, and you finally get those girls honing their skills on one thing, and you see just how athletic they are. And I love the multi-sport approach too, because you're not always playing the sport that you're best at. You're, you know, sometimes it teaches you to be a little tougher because you got to do some of the stuff that you're not as good at too. So
I think that's what Scott DeYoung's always done such a good job with. I mean, you could look at the like these posts. You have like a Shayla Starkenberg, and you've got like a oh my God, the kid that was Jackson's age.
You talking about Kendall Lindemann?
No, she was a year older. But no, I'm not thinking of Kendall. I'm thinking of, she's got all the brothers too.
Oh my! Sean?
No, her brothers. Her brother led at Iowa, Ankeny, and homers, and then didn't go out as.
Oh, Olson.
Oh yeah, Olson. Got you.
I mean, you take Chloe.
She's got one more sister left.
You get Chloe, that's this unbelievable softball player, and all of a sudden she's getting every rebound in the world. You know, I mean, and it would take Scott a while because it would just come from another sport.
Yep.
You know, my favorite Chloe Olson story is we're up in Ames. We're playing them in football, and Tron is doing the, you know, like the Andy Pollock stuff for Ames High at the time, and they get a kid from Ames and a kid from Ankeny, and they got to punt it, do something, and kick it. So Chloe's out there with her bare feet, and I'm thinking, oh, I pity this poor boy.
I pity this poor boy from Ames. You know what she's got for a background, yeah.
Chloe threw it about 50 yards and punted it about 70, and then kicked it barefoot like 35. Or 40, and this poor kid just, I thought, yeah, I pity you, buddy, because you're going to get whooped up by that girl right there, man.
You know, one of the athletes that we have right now, and just a junior, Jaden Pratt, is that's another great story. You talk about multi-sport athletes, and Jaden's already, you know, committed to being a D1 basketball player, but she's a gal. She could play D1 volleyball. She could do D1 track, jumping. I mean, she's just incredible talent, and it's exciting to think about what she, when she's doing just one sport all the time, what that's going to look like for her, and she's going to go down as one of the great ones here right now. Maya Crawford has had a great track career. I know she's not running it this year, but really good talent on the track in the past. We've had some really good soccer players that have played basketball here. It's really fun to see those girls that do stuff in multiple sports and have a lot of success doing it. I think a lot of it boils down to coaches who make it work too, because that doesn't happen everywhere. Coaches aren't nearly as willing to share athletes at some other schools as they are here. So, and I'm not sure coaches want to, you know, you want to have those kids at your workout, but when you know that they are doing stuff, when you know that they're competing, that builds that mentality. I think that mentality is huge.
But you know, what's I think is really unique with here at, in Ankeny. And, you know, even when I graduated, we had 329 kids in my class in 1980. It was one of the bigger ones, but you know, the natural sport to play was baseball and basketball. Well, today it's probably the most unnatural sport because of all the summer basketball.
And they just play all the time.
That's probably the toughest sport to play both, I think, is basketball baseball and baseball, because the summer, these kids are playing all their summer ball.
We found out that the volleyball softball combo is incredibly difficult on the girls' side, because for volleyball you're doing so much stuff in the summer, and then the spring is club for both.
Yeah.
So you're trying to balance a club for both of those, and then you move that into the summertime when all your, there's unlimited contact periods in the summer right now for sports. So though you're doing all that volleyball stuff getting ready for it, but oh yeah, you've got a softball season that you're doing as well. So to do those both at a high level, that is really, really hard. And there's a reason there's not a ton of them doing it, but the ones that do are doing it at a really high level because they're the really talented athletes.
Yeah.
So that's been fun to see those players continue to do it. And coaches, you know, on this side, you've got just some, like with Delaney and Reinhardt, they're willing to share. I know down, I haven't got to know Liz yet as well on the south side, but know Bingham really well. I mean, they want their athletes. You know, you'll realize these coaches want to work and get their best athletes out for the sports, and sometimes that means that they won't be around for everything that you want them to be around for.
Well, I know the kids that play club soccer too, like if they play in the fall, it's pretty hard to do any other sport because they're just constantly playing.
And those soccer players are really good athletes. Like, they could be helping out in a lot of different sports. They're really good athletes.
Well, speaking of like soccer players and stuff like that, you know, I'm going to throw this out. I'm going to throw a bone since you're at Dowling. You know, here when we, you know, in Ankeny, I used to always say Detroit builds cars, Ankeny builds kickers, and Peter Rame probably had six kickers that kicked Division One.
Sure. I don't know the exact number, but that would not surprise
I think
me.
If I had to bet, it's five or six, and I bet 100 at least five. Now, when's the next Dowling phenom kicker coming?
You know what? So a lot of the kids that he's got right now kicking at Dowling are soccer players, and that's what they do. So okay. They're playing high level soccer. I don't know what the pedigree was of the guys that kicked here, but those guys down there, they're playing soccer.
Okay.
And we've had some good ones in the past that have gone on. We had Nick McClellan that kicked at K-State for a lot of years. Like, we've had some good ones. He wasn't around yet, or Peter wasn't around yet at that point. But, yeah, we've had good kickers. Back with the Bills. Fun story on him I'll share with you sometime. But, yeah, the guys that we have right now are basically straight off the soccer pitch, because our soccer team and football teams work out together in the off season. Yeah. So a lot of those guys know each other, and he is able to find the good ones.
But it's just amazing in this town how many kickers have come out of this city, man. It's
been known for a long time, and I think that's continued. There's been some really good kickers that continue to bowl schools since the split, too.
I mean, back when I was in school, if you made an extra point, it was like 50-50, you know. Straight on kicker had the straight toe shoe, you know, the flat toed shoe Tom Dempsey,
We had one of those in our equipment bag in school. I was the kicker.
Dave Sharp was our kicker.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Coach Sharp. Yeah, he was our kicker. And now it's changed so much. I mean, even back when Andy Brodell played, you know, I loved it when teams had to punt, because he was a threat to take it to the house
anywhere. Yep.
And now there's almost no punt returns, because
they're also skilled about.
I mean, the punting and kicking.
The hang time. Yep.
Seriously, in football, have you ever seen anything that's improved as much as the kicking and punting game?
A lot of it has to do with the scheme that they're using right now, and punting especially. They are in the rule change in football in kickoffs, but in punting, that roll punt that they're using gives those guys so much more time to get downfield quicker.
Yeah.
And it really takes, you know, really out kicking the coverage literally to make that a possibility to return. Matt Hawk actually was was our, he was what led to him and one other guy were what led to our using the roll punt for the first time, that rugby style. Matt was our all-time leading receiver at Dowling when he graduated, and that included our Amara Darbo, who went to the league as well. Matt was really, really good at that. He's super fast. Well, all of a sudden, when you got a guy that's that fast, you run that roll punt when it's a threat to fake it every single time that you're going out there. That's a weapon, and that's kind of where he started to punt. Then all of a sudden, he's up at Iowa State at a clinic, and I get a call from Jamie Cole. He's like, hey, where does this Hawk want to go to school? I was like, I don't know. Why is he good? He's like, he's like our top punter here. So with it, by the end of the day, he had an offer and accepted Arizona State.
Yeah.
Just crazy how that works.
And he's in the NFL.
And now he's with the Bills. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
had a great career.
You know, it's amazing because, you know, he, I didn't know it, but Elton John told me that he,
I was waiting. Okay. Drink. Everybody drink. Elton John.
John told me that he punted for the Dolphins.
Okay. He did punt for the Dolphins. That was his first gig,
Yeah, he was a hell of a punter.
Yeah, both in one sentence. Wow. Yeah, Elton John and the Dolphins in one sentence.
It's amazing, you know. But, no, it's, you know, in the NFL, we got a lot going on right now. All these free agents, it's getting...
It's nuts.
It's crazy.
What's going on right now? This year is... And I'm a guy, probably up until the last 2 or 3 years ago, I haven't really paid attention to that stuff. And it is fascinating. The movie Draft Day is...
It's amazing.
It's nuts, isn't it? And I love it. Like I've said, it's the business side of what's going on behind. There's so many decisions that, as an average fan, you don't pay attention to.
Well, this just a minute ago, I already saw it, but I got a text from my son that said to me. Let me look at it real quick. See, but he goes,
did the Dolphins sign a new snapper or something?
Third string snapper.
They signed their punter, who was just terrible last year. And I wouldn't have given him a dime. He was sucked. And they re-signed, and there must be something they like in him. I have no idea, but I thought he was horrible. And all my mock drafts, and I've done over 100 of them, I've taken Taylor of Iowa.
Okay, yeah.
In the seventh round for Miami, because that guy, I don't care if he's 27 years old, that guy, punting's winning, okay? I believe it. Dolphins just cleared another $11 million in cap space today. So there's going to be
some. Now you're thinking. It's going to be Corey Taylor.
Well, I want him. I want a punter. I mean, it's you know.
Did you see the new guy the Hawks have?
Oh, yeah.
Their new punter? Guy's a monster.
Well, you know what? Two things. If you're a tight end or a punter, you want to go to Iowa.
So.
Wide receiver, not so much.
These Australian punters in particular right now that so many Division I schools are getting. There's an issue there. These guys are all much, they're not 18-year-olds, right, when they're getting there. They're a lot more developed, and they're taking opportunities away from kids over here that are playing. I don't know what the answer is, because obviously as a college, you're going to recruit those. If they're the best, that's going to help you. That's what's going to happen. But there is an issue there. I can't remember. There's some like 50-some Australian punters on Division I rosters, and these guys come over at 23, 24 years old. And you know, hey, an 18-year-old next to a 23-year-old, there's a big difference there. Huge difference right now. So it's not so big a deal for the pros, but it's a really big deal in the college game right now. And I think that's something that doesn't get talked about a whole lot, but I think that's a big issue right now.
But we've seen it in basketball forever like that. Even back in the day, I mean, one of the first ones I remember was your Julius Mikalik or whatever. Isn't that his name?
Czech Republic.
Yeah, I mean, he came out, maybe, I don't know how old he was.
He just looked old. I think he was normal age, but yeah, he's a soccer coach now. That's
what I tell you know.
Over
what,
in Harlan?
Well, he was coaching Fort Dodge.
He was for a little while, but girls. I'm pretty sure he's at Harlan.
Was he the girls coach?
I know he coached girls. Yeah,
he's coaching soccer.
I'm telling you what, you want to know something?
He's in a really bad car accident a few years back, but yeah,
I didn't know that. But I'm telling you, between him and AC Earl, I don't know who gained the most weight after college between those two. Because you ever seen a big AC is?
Oh, yeah, big boy.
Oh, AC's a big boy, but I mean, Julius Mikalik is a large man.
Yeah, oh, yeah. A couple years ago, I was at the Character Counts banquet when this was actually several years ago when Hoiberg won it, and he had a lot of former teammates there, and I didn't recognize Ulo.
Yeah.
That was one of those guys. But this was also coming off his accent.
He was a really good shooter, if I remember. Wasn't
yeah,
he?
Really. Oh, okay. Yeah, 6'11", 6'10".
Like shooter?
Yeah.
Lefty, yeah.
Wouldn't dunk.
Lefty.
Yeah.
Kind of like Kate Kellerman, maybe, that lefty man.
So talk about guys that played in the past and guys that played for a long time. I got to call a couple games down at the girls' state tournament with Jess Settle's wife.
Oh, no kidding.
And that was a treat. Joanna knows her stuff. She's coached high school basketball for a while. I don't know that she ever played. I think she played it. Oh, I don't remember now. Small, I think maybe Co or something. I can't remember for sure. And Jess has done an outstanding job of doing games for ESPN. He calls a lot of Iowa State games on ESPN, and it's one of those where you hear it's Jess Settles like, oh, no, come on. Why are we getting him? The dude does a really good job. He's really fun. I think he does an outstanding job calling games for them.
So let's just, for fun, we always have a fun section.
Okay.
Here. Okay. Who don't you like to listen to?
Who don't I like to listen to?
We're not going to go local, but like, yeah. I don't like Big Beth. Okay. I don't.
Okay.
Big Time Beth. I can't stand her.
So there's a couple analysts in particular that, and I can't think of names right now. There's a couple of the guys, especially when you get to some of those ESPN Plus type games in there. It's not so much, I'm looking for the guys that's going to tell me the actual play that's going on. Talk to me more about the play. Don't just tell me over and over again that, you know, Rod Brandon made the tackle. I don't need to know that. I can see that. Like, I want to know the ins and outs. To me, the standard right now in football is Tony Romo.
People don't like him. He's the standard.
He is the standard. Greg Olson's really good. I don't think that I can't think of the Sunday Night Football guy right now.
Chris Collinsworth.
I don't think.
I can't stomach him.
Chris, he talks like he knows what's going on a lot. I don't, when you really listen to what he's talking about, there's some iffy things that he's saying, but I think Romo, and there's, what I have found out though, there's a lot of your football like advanced guys that don't like Romo calling games, and they don't like it because of the Nostradamus effect. If he's telling you what's going to happen, they're like, no, we want to see what's going to happen. You can tell us about it after, but he can call it right away ahead of time, and they don't like that. And I'm like, no, this is what that's what I'm seeing too. Like, I want to know. So he's almost one of those guys that you want to put in the coach's room, you know, for the national championship game, that type of thing. If you watch some of the small college stuff, there's some really, really good analysts out there, like really good, that if you listen to the content of what they're talking about. But as I found out, as they try to get more and more people in the broadcasting world and hire more and more people, there's two things. There's people that are really good speakers, but they don't necessarily know what they're talking about. There's the people that really, really know what they're talking about, but they can't spit out a coherent sentence. And then the ones that you want are the ones that are both, that they can fit in both. And so when I hear some of those ESPN Plus, you know, you're watching the D2, D3 games, I watch a lot of lower level sports, and I love to hear some of those guys because these are the guys that are coming out, maybe they're a quarterback at Bethel University or who knows where they went to, but they know their stuff a lot, but they're not quite that good communicator yet. So finding that balance of what's, and also you can't talk over your audience either. You can't talk to the person that knows the least. You can't talk to the girlfriend that you just brought to the sports bar that's never watched a football game in her life. You can't be talking to her, but you also can't talk to the guy that's been coaching football for 40 years that knows everything that's going on. You got to find that happy medium and somehow find a way to make it interesting for both.
You ever listen to Chuck Reed?
Oh, yeah.
I like Chuck.
I've called games right beside Chuck before with Drake. Yeah.
Chuck does a good job. I like Chuck.
I did some baseball right with Chuck last year when Ames was down here a couple times using the press box with me. We talked really
well. When I was growing up, I used to listen to all the Drake games back when Ortega was there.
Okay.
And on the radio, it was Jerry Crawford, who's the attorney that is a political guru.
Yep, you see him on WHO election night.
And also was a big horse guy.
Yep.
And it would be him and Orv Salmon.
Well, there's a name from the past.
Yeah, him and Orv Salmon. And they would do the games. And I loved listening to those guys.
In the basketball world, Fran Fraschilla is... The one thing that you'll find out about Fran is I don't know that his basketball acumen is so much higher than a lot of people, but Fran gets to know everybody so well. And I've found that when you're doing games on TV, and this is something new to me, just in the last 5 to 6 years, I've been doing radio since, 1996, but in the last 5 to 6 years doing so many more things on TV, it's more about knowing the stories that are behind the players that are doing this stuff. And that's one thing that Fran Fraschilla, anytime he's calling a game, he knows. There's so many people that know the stuff that's going on in the court, but he knows the stories behind these players. He knows where they grew up. He knows that when your names, you're going to eat at Hickory Park. He knows all that. So he's got the connections and just gets to know everybody. And I've also found out that, man, if I had the luxury right now, you know, we're doing a couple games a week right now, sometimes 3 or 4 games a week. But when you're a guy, especially in football, if you're doing one game a week and you have the opportunity to go out to a practice for the teams that you're covering and then do the game, oh my God, you're an expert so quick on them. You know everything that they're trying to do, and that makes sense. So when, if I've been, I've been invited to a lot of different practices, and I love to go to Coach DeYoung's practices, but that when I do the game the following week, I'm like, I know everything that's going on right now. Like, those guys that are at practice throughout the week, they know everything, and that's I feel like that's something that a lot of teams could do. But then when you know the stories of the guys, you know, they talk about going out to dinner with the coaches and talking to them, like, that's where you make those connections, and that's where you can be a really valuable color guy.
I still love Dick Vitale, though.
Dick Vitale, he brought the energy.
I mean, you know,
he really brought the energy to what he was doing.
He's just so enjoyable.
Yep.
You know, the guy that was the leader in talking what you're talking about with Romo?
Yes.
I think the first person to start doing that did it and didn't talk down to people, Bill Walsh did it and was terrible. He was the worst I ever heard. But, you know, John Madden was.
Oh, sure. Oh, yes.
I mean, he would tell you, this is what we're going to do.
Yep.
You know, you get that little telestrator out there.
Yeah,
you know?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
But, no, it's fun. I mean, we got all this stuff going on, man. And so what's going on with Dan? What's your big next thing to cover, Dan? Track?
Yeah, it gets going next week with track and tennis.
Soccer.
Working man in Ankeny.
Friday and Saturday. Good luck.
Yeah. But this week I'm focused on March Madness because I'm heading over to Omaha on Thursday as well. We just got tickets today, so I'm pretty much.
Who are you rooting for?
Who do you think?
I'm gonna go. You're rooting for Drake, and you're gonna root for Iowa State.
Yep.
They play each other in the second round.
Well, the only issue is that my neighbor is a Drake booster, and he got us some tickets.
Oh,
so
okay.
We're gonna be in the Drake section, so I might have to tone it down a little bit on Saturday.
But. You know, one of the things with that, and that's one of the things over the last, you know, being a coach now for 20 some years, the connections that you make doing that stuff, and you know this in the media too, that it's really fun when you see these guys get to be higher level coaches. And for me, a lot of it has to stem from where I grew up and being in the Applington Parkersburg game and knowing Darren very well down at Drake. I'm going to pull for them. But like right now, we've got some really, like, the Iowa State coaches. TJ lives here in Ankeny. Eric Crawford lives here in Ankeny. J.R. Blunt lives here in Ankeny. These are guys that you see on about. They're guys you run into at Hy-Vee.
Nick Mitchell is in Ankeny.
Nick Mitchell, yeah, Grant. Grandview? Yeah, I went to college with Nick. I mean, for a long time.
How good is he, Grandview?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, I'm just saying, he lives here.
Yep. You got so many Iowa State football coaches that live here, and there's others too, and I don't want to limit it just to that. But what's really cool is you see the value that these guys bring to the community as well. Their kids are playing sports. They're out here helping. Like I said, you run into them at the grocery store doing stuff, and they just sit and talk to you. You know, and we lost Daniel Robinson to Cleveland State, who had a pretty good year this year too. And, you know, his kids and what they did in the community when they were here too. And it's just so fun to be in close proximity to these two schools that are doing so well right now. And getting to know these guys, and when you see them, and you see the picture of TJ and Allison sitting on the thing, and they're like, "That's Iowa's first family." I was like, "Yeah, I was just coaching their daughter a couple weeks ago in basketball, second grade, third grader." Yeah,
I know. So. And then, you know, it just seems like you know, Robinson. How much would he help Centennial this year?
Oh boy, yeah, that's big. That's big. Yeah.
Yeah, and we had the Thalen kid that ended up being a D1 tight end that moved away. I mean, I'm going to get my little soapbox. If the school board's listening, we need open enrollment, man, for both. I'm just being upfront. You know, go out and get me a post, and you get Centennial girls a post next year, they could win it all.
They could, yeah, they absolutely could.
I mean,
they
still could, because I'm not – but they're just missing a post.
Yep, no doubt. They, you know, and it's – there's so many different places that it's like – and someone had brought up when Dowling and Johnston were playing in the state championship game for girls basketball. They're like, there's like four or five D1 girls out there. It's like, there's four or five D1 girls out on the court every 5A state tournament game. Anybody who's playing Des Moines or Davenport North, there's four or five girls on the court. If they're playing Centennial, there's four or five D1 girls on the court. If they're playing Ankeny, there's four or five D1 girls on the court. I'm not talking for each school, but total. Like, that's just what it is when you get to that level. And that's a lot of fun, but it's so many times at that tournament, it's not those top couple players all kind of cancel each other out, and then it comes up, well, yeah, you got a couple D1s, but who's your D2? Who's your D3? They're the ones that have to have a big tournament because they all cancel each other.
Ankeny gets set up, you know, versus Centennial in basketball, which truthfully probably shouldn't have happened the way that it was broke down. I mean, the state geographically wanted it a little closer, and they wanted a big gate.
What a night that was. It was a huge gate. They got their wish.
I mean, what do you think? 4,000 people?
I mean, they filled up the gym, and we had 6,000 people watching online, too.
Okay, so,
that's just nuts.
And they get 8 bucks. $8 a person.
Yep.
So that's $32,000 just right there, you know. But, you know, you talk about kids stepping up. I mean, Leo had his career game.
Yes.
And then you've got, you know, Cash, I mean, comes out and, you know.
Right away.
And it goes bang, bang from three. I mean, their players really stepped up.
And again, though, that's one of those nights where you have the two, you have Carson Johnson and Luke Winkle, and those guys, like, you know, we've watched those guys for years. I've texted with Dan back and forth, like, are these two of the best players that we've ever seen once here in Ankeny? I think so.
Yes.
Dan's got some, he's got some other guys too, but I just think those two guys against each other, that night, they were neutralized. Then it became like, who's the next guy? And it was Leo. It was schooling right away, and then it was Leo that took over after that.
And so I'm going to throw in, speaking of a guy that did step up, and it's going to be coming up soon. Let's talk some baseball, because we're going to have an Ankeny kid for sure go in the first round for sure.
Yep,
Brady Brick is going to go for sure in the first. I've seen him at between 13 and 17 overall pick.
Okay,
I've even seen
would drop him where? Who are you looking at? Who has those?
I've seen two mock drafts that the Cubs are at 15 will take him. Now, I don't know that, but he's going to go there.
Okay.
And then I've heard Joey Oakey's at the end of the first round at like worst.
That's a story I love to talk about, Joey, every time I watch.
That's what made me think of that, because he played so well.
But when you watch him play, this is a guy that's going to make millions, right? Playing baseball.
Yeah.
Like millions. Most people that are in that same boat would be protecting their bodies and doing everything possible. That guy plays harder than anybody on the basketball floor. Like, he's jumping up, he's flying around, diving for balls. Like, he's a competitor. Those are the guys that you want on your
sports
teams.
You know, and he fouled the Johnson.
He got him hard, yeah.
But you know what? Right away, I looked at him, and he looked right at him and goes, man, I didn't mean to hurt you.
Yep.
I mean, he felt bad. I mean, he wasn't – and he came from an angle, and it was a little late, but, you know, but you're just trying to stop it, man.
And Coach Carlson brought that up after the game. He's like, we know these guys. They're not trying to do any – you know, he's been a fun guy to get to know, really, too. I think the world of that guy.
But watching Joey, I mean, you could tell right away, last thing he wanted to do.
Yep. He's a competitor.
Don't hurt anybody, man. You know,
game recognizes game, right? Doesn't matter the sport. Those guys,
man. You've seen how big his butt and thighs are, though, man. I mean, that's where that power's coming from.
Yep.
I'm looking forward.
He looks like a linebacker. Joey's built like a linebacker.
I know
he really is.
But we're gonna think about like a team, you know, that makes kickers. We're gonna have two major league pitchers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, drafted in 1 year.
You're gonna have an excuse to go over and watch the Cubs.
I already have.
you don't think Joey's going to pitch for Iowa next year?
No.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
Not if he's a first rounder or early second rounder.
No. He's going to, you know what, because he'll get a big bonus. He'll get, and they'll take care of him. And then you know that they also get 5 years of college. You know that. So if he fails out, like goes down, and, you know, I'm not trying to sing. I know we got to get scooting, but, you know, we had an Ankeny kid that didn't sign and went down to Arkansas and ended up hurting his arm.
Yeah.
You know, I feel bad for Keaton McKinney, because he could have been a major league pitcher.
For sure.
You know, you just never know when you're a pitcher when you're going to have some stuff. But the bottom line is, you hear all the good stuff here today, but here's what's going on. We've had over 12 companies pull out of the state of Iowa. They don't want to write your insurance, but I do, because we're open, we're safe, we're secure, we're strong, we're awesome. You get me.
And you're going to see you around town, right?
You can call me on my cell phone. Bottom line is, we're open, we're safe, secure, strong. We'll write your. So if you get a non-renewal letter out there, call Hot Rod. I'll take care of you. Boom.
I'm going to say this real quick, but I can save $3 if I go with my online carrier.
Yeah, but good luck calling them when you have a duration.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
What do you mean? What do you mean I don't have full coverage? I want full coverage for everything.
No, but you save me $3 a month.
Yeah, I know it, man. $3. How's that $3 looking now? Hey, that says the guy with the tarp on his roof 2 years later. But it was fun. Thanks for coming, Andy.
Can we make sure that Tunes knows this is way better than anything he could ever do?
Mike would still be talking about, hey, how you doing? Mike's on Mount Rushmore, though.
Yeah, he would have walked out of here 4 times because he would have seen someone else walking across the park. Yeah. He had to go say hi to.
He doesn't know a stranger, does he?
Not a bit.
Hey, been great, though. Dan, fantastic. I don't know how we got by without Tony.
But it's because of you, man.
We got by without Tony, and there wasn't one swear word today, man. It's great, man.
Yeah. Well, hey, thanks, Andy, for joining us.
Absolutely.
Rod, I'll see you Thursday over in Omaha.
Yeah, you will.
All right.
See you, bud. Bye. Yeah.